Sunday after the Epiphany. There will be blessing of articles after Mass today at the communion rail. We will not have benediction of the Blessed Sacrament this evening. The talk on the Catholic faith will be postponed until a Wednesday in February, still to be determined. The talk scheduled for this week is canceled. The feast for this week, today, is the feast of Saints Vincent and Anastasius. Monday is the feast of Saint Raymond Peñafort. Tuesday is the feast of Saint Timothy. Wednesday is the feast of the conversion of Saint Paul. Thursday is the feast of Saint Polycarp. And Friday is the feast of Saint John Chrysostom. Saturday is the feast of Saint Peter Nolasco. There's so much about these saints that we must skip. Well, we will skip it. The only thing we will mention about the saints is, I don't know if anyone else did, but I read the story of Saint Sebastian. That was one of the things that we were invited to do last Sunday. The teaser was put out by Father, and he didn't want to ruin the punchline, and he left it up to you to have some degree of intellectual curiosity and see what would happen. I looked it up. I read it. I had the book to do it, but I know you could do it on the internet. Please pick up your serving and cooking dishes in the classroom after Mass today, because we are running out of space to store them in the cabinets. So if you have given us anything, which we much appreciate, please pick them up, because we want them refilled, I guess. So we will have blessing of the articles after Mass. There's no benediction today. The next talk on the Catholic faith will not be this Wednesday, but will be sometime in February. And maybe some people will want to read about Saint Sebastian. Oh, one other thing. We're still waiting. We're still praying. There were promises made, and abortions still go on, and this is the anniversary of legalizing it, 43 years. No, I think it's 44 years. 44 years and counting, and millions of people. We said yesterday to the catechism class, of course, murder is already on just the order of the natural, a terrible crime. But we're dealing with, as St. Paul has told us in other epistles, our combat, our wrestling is with principalities and powers. The devil doesn't care one iota about, although God has told us that he was a liar and a murderer from the beginning, so those are his hallmarks. So we know that the devil is involved in this. But he doesn't care about the money that's being made, the greed, all the other vices that are being practiced. The one thing that he cares about is to hurt God in any way possible. So all of these millions of people who God created cannot get into heaven without baptism. They have not even been allowed to be born. You see the consequence. All these saints, potential saints, have been prevented from even having the chance to get to heaven. They are not condemned to hell, as we know. There is a place called limbo, where they have natural happiness. But they will only know God as their creator. They will never know him as their father. We know him as our father because his life pumps through our spiritual veins. That life is grace. They can never have that. So we're still waiting. And if that doesn't happen, then whatever comes in the next 4 years is failure. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. Brethren, be not wise in your own conceits. To no man render evil for evil, but provide good things, not only in the sight of God, but also in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as far as in you lies, be at peace with all men. Do not avenge yourselves, beloved, but give place to the wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. But if thy enemy is hungry, give him food. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by so doing, thou wilt heap coals of fire upon his head. Be not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 to 13. At that time, when Jesus had come down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came up and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And stretching forth his hand, Jesus touched him, saying, I will, be thou made clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See thou tell no one, but go, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a witness to them. Now when he had entered Capernaum, there came to him a centurion who entreated him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying sick in the house, paralyzed, and is grievously afflicted. And Jesus said to him, I will come and cure him. But in answer the centurion said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldst come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man subject to authority, and I have soldiers subject to me. And I say to one, Go, and he goes, and to another, Come, and he comes, and to my servant, Do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled, and said to those who were following him, Amen, I say to you, I have not found such great faith in Israel. And I tell you that many will come from the east and from the west, and will feast with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom will be put forth into the darkness outside. There will be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done to thee. And the servant was healed in that hour. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We are fully into the season after the Epiphany. And we know from the Feast of the Epiphany and last Sunday and the baptism of our Lord that the season of the Epiphany is a consequence of Christmas and the time for us to experience, as the word says, the manifestation, the showing forth of what happened at Christmas. And what happened at Christmas, of course, is that the second person of the Blessed Trinity became a man in time. So that in the one person of the Son of God, we have two natures. The nature of God and the nature of man. So in this time, as we saw on the Epiphany, when the Magi came and worshiped our Lord, recognizing him in this way, whose adoration is only owed to God. So they could tell, they had been given this revelation by God through the means of the star, to follow that star. They had been given the revelation that this little infant is God, and they adored him as such. So during this time after the Epiphany, this is what is to be meant for us. This is the time for us to see these consequences and to react to them. And Holy Mother of the Church in the Sacred Liturgy gives us the guidance and makes it easy for us. So that we, and this particular year we have, because Easter is later, we have almost the entire season of the Epiphany for us. But this Mass today sets the tone, because the introit, gradual, alleluia, offertory, and communion are always going to be the same from here on out for the season. Because Holy Mother Church wants to teach us, and that's what we want to remember from today's Mass. We first want to pray. Isn't that the universal rule for us, especially from the liturgy? To pray so we might believe, and to know what we believe by our prayer. And so the first words of the Mass are, let the angels adore him. That's what we're supposed to do. That's just one of the purposes of prayer. We're going to see in the Gospel, for example, another purpose, that of petition. So we've got to pray. No matter what things burden us, that weight can be lifted and made to be almost, first of all, they can be lifted completely by a miracle. But if not, they can be lifted to the point that we skip through. The burden is still there, but we skip through. The fact that we still are weighed down by these things, you know what that's attesting to? We don't pray. We don't have to test people in catechism to see if they pray. We can see it just by the fact that people still are too burdened because we do not pray, brethren. We do not pray enough, and all of us do not pray enough. Haven't you ever experienced the fact when you do pray, you feel better? Now, of course, that is what our Lord does to us as infants in prayer. He gives us the candy to make us want to pray. Higher stages of prayer for the adults, we don't get the candy anymore. We are more like our Lord on the cross. But at the beginning, he's trying to lead us to prayer. So please, the first thing of the season, the first thing of any season, is we have to pray. And so the introits are going to say, and this is the citation from today's Mass in the introit, the psalm. This is a citation that St. Paul draws on in his opening lines of the letter to the Hebrews, where he talks about comparing, by the way, that is the great epistle for the third Mass of Christmas. That's what I'm referring to here. Where he says, when did he ever call one of the angels his son? He's contrasting how great the incarnation is to even the greatness of the angels, because none of them was elevated to divine sonship in a natural sense. Obviously, by grace they are. But he then says, and then he summons his angels to adore him. That's St. Paul referring to these words of today's introit. So Holy Mother Church is saying the same thing, summoning all of us to adore him, as with the Magi. And we will not go into full analysis of the gradual alleluia. We can hear the same words of the Gentiles coming and fearing the name of the Lord, which, by the way, just as a reminder, this month is dedicated to the holy name of Jesus. Is anyone saying the litany of the holy name this month? word to the wise, a perfect way to prayer, to pray. We say to the people who are dying, if you cannot say anything else, if you cannot speak anything else, just think of this. Think of the name Jesus. So if you do nothing else in the day, just think and say the name Jesus. So that's the first thing we have to do. We have to pray. But Holy Mother of the Church wants us to see what everyone else around our Lord's birth were able to see. That this human being, even as an infant, is God. Now we may be able to come back to St. Paul here. Well, I guess we'll just say this. We have a series of selections from St. Paul's epistle to the Romans. We had the first last week, we have this week. And we'll just say that. You see what St. Paul is saying. He's telling us that this paramount doctrine of the faith has to have an impact in our lives. And he's telling us, no matter what evil you are subjected to, you must always return good for evil. Why? That's why. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Now, some people sin not by ignorance, but by malice. And that takes a great act of grace in a miraculous way. But many people are just ignorant. And so we receive the benefit of their ignorance by pain and evil that we receive. But God says through St. Paul, don't respond that way. And as much as possible, have peace with all men. Maintaining a tranquility of order. That's what peace is. So that don't correct people, unless it's, you have to, but do not correct people and they're telling a story that's not exactly right. Don't undo someone else's place in the sun. Do not, out of some kind of envy, try to lash out at someone. Our Lord says, I will repay. See, prayer will make us understand that. By the way, on that particular point, any ill will that we receive from people, remember this. God has permitted that. So if you want to be angry at anyone, you have to be angry with God. And no one wants to be angry with God. That is something that helps a lot in life. When things bad happen to us, we just think, oh, God, you want that to happen to me. So that's all we can say about St. Paul in the epistle. But in the gospel, which is more to the point of, St. Paul's is to the point as far as a practical consequence. The gospel is more to the point as far as our faith. We have this, it says right here, St. Matthew tells us, right after the Sermon on the Mount, all the people heard him speak, that's our Lord speak this great sermon. And at the end it says the epilogue is, they heard him speak, not like the scribes and Pharisees, but he spoke as one with authority. And all went away amazed. And then St. Matthew says, he comes down from the mountain, and this leper just appears. Now, we can't go through all the description of the fact that the leper was an outcast of society because the people, a couple of reasons right away. One is, it was a contagious disease that they believed was highly contagious, and so they kept these people away, and they were commanded to stay away. And it was a sign to the people of sin, because they understood that when God said to Adam, if you eat the fruit of this tree, you shall die. And all the consequences, things that lead up to death, came into the world too. So all sickness came through sin. So when they saw these horribly disfigured people with leprosy, they said, that's the living image of sin. So they really despised and hated these people. So this man, out of desperation, just throws himself as the Lord's coming down. He's not with the people. Or if he were with them, he came down right away, because he couldn't be around them. But he throws himself, it says, throws himself on the ground and says, if thou wilt, you can make me clean. So our Lord touched him and said, I will, be thou made clean. Now, we see, of course, obviously, the divine power operating through the humanity of Christ. Here's our manifestation. Here's our epiphany for us. The gospel is teaching us that God is in this man, not just by grace. He is God. So when he was touched by our Lord, he was touched by God. And we also know from the catechism, what is man? Man is a creature composed in body and soul and made in the image and likeness of God. We know that image of God is particularly in the soul, which is going to live forever and has the powers of intellect and volition, the ability to will. And so Holy Mother of the Church is also, by selecting this gospel, pointing out the fact that our Lord has a human will, because he said it, I will be thou made clean. Because our Lord is a complete human being. He is just like us in all things, as St. Paul says, except sin. In the next miracle, there are two miracles. One, and every one of these details are worth tremendous insight and explanation. We cannot do it. We're just jumping over, but just to say, our Lord told him, though he was healed, he should still observe the Mosaic law and go report this to the priests. We understand this by, St. Jerome tells us he did that so that the priests would have a witness to the fact that what we're talking about. This is God. He did something that only God can do. So this was an encouragement to the priests to believe in our Lord. It was, St. Jerome also says, an indictment if they did not. How could they refuse to see this miracle? But it was also teaching us that the priests are the means of washing away sin and verifying it, and that's the sacrament of penance. The other sacrament for cleansing, to make us clean, is the washing of baptism. So we're seeing allusions to the sacraments. In the cure of the centurion's servant, which he loved so much he called him his son, we see, not as the Jews have their revelation made to them through the leper, we have the revelation being made through the centurion, who is a Gentile. Because the whole Christmas thing, and particularly Epiphany, is to tell first the Jews in the shepherds, and then all the Gentiles through the Magi, the revelation that God is man. And so we have the two miracles right here, the one to the Jews and the one to the Gentiles. And the church so loves these words of faith that we say it every time, every Mass, before communion. So we can be thinking of that same thought, praying, believing. And then we see, again, in the whole story, and there's a lot of detail here also, which we cannot go into for the time. But if you just read the account according to St. Luke, he gives more detail. St. Matthew will go right to the heart of the matter. But St. Luke tells us that this man, this centurion, who says, I am not worthy that you should come into my home, that humility was so deep that St. Luke wanted to make sure that that was recorded, because he did not even make the petition himself. St. Matthew just cuts through and tells it as if the centurion himself is speaking, but St. Luke says, no, this man was so humble, he did not even come. He sent a delegation. And then our Lord praised his great faith and said that he, along with all from the east and west, all are called to the heavenly banquet, to sit down at the communion. So we have the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist, all being given to us today to embrace, to love. So at this Mass, we must, of course, express our faith. That's coming across in a very clear way. Because when this revelation is made to us, when this manifestation is shown, we must respond. We cannot be like those St. Jerome warned that dismiss it. We must respond and say, yes, we believe. And we love. And we are going to pray. We are going to pray for our own needs. We're going to pray to stop abortion. It's still going on. We're not praying enough. It's obvious. So at this Mass, when we say those words, Lord, I am not worthy, but only say the word, and my soul will be healed. And so will all other problems if we pray with faith. May God bless you.